show called Dangerfield on 101.5 The Hawk FM. I'm Mary, and tonight my special guest is Matt Mays. He's a Juno Award-winning singer and songwriter. In 2014, he won Rock Album of the Year. He's been nominated 5 times for Junos, has recorded over 8 albums. And I just want to say, hey, Matt, thanks for joining.
Hey, Mary. It's a real honor to make your show.
Cool. Well, I'm just going to start off right at the top with a song of yours called So Strange.
Hold on a sec. I think we should tell everybody that you and I are like, we're best friends. You know, I think we should get that out of the way.
Sure.
Change, don't matter what you do, don't matter how you try to arrange it, it'll turn its back on you. Oh. So you think you found a little sunshine, maybe you found love. I hate to be the one to break it to you. Nobody gives a fuck.
Oh, how much has the environment that you live in contributed to the music that you make? So I guess since I've known you, you've lived in everywhere from Los Angeles to New York, San Francisco, Vancouver, Halifax, Toronto. Does the place come first, or does the music?
Well, one thing about getting a little bit older as a songwriter is that I'm starting to realize that, like, it's not like if I move to one city, I just start writing about that city or whatever. Like, I find myself, like, even playing live, when I close my eyes and sing, it takes me somewhere I've been, and it could be somewhere stupid, like Penhorn Mall when I was a kid in Dartmouth, or a beautiful beach in Indonesia or whatever. It's just like my mind somehow keeps that. It's like a Kodachrome or whatever. These slides kind of like run across my eyes. And that happens when I'm songwriting and playing. So all I know now is that it's not a direct line to the song at the time. It's sort of just everywhere I've been. And collectively, I've realized that it sort of adds to songs or shows or whatever, you know. So I kind of try to keep it going now, because I know that's the sort of seems to fuel the fire, I guess. Or it's this all comes down to color. It just sort of adds color and takes me out of the now, I suppose.
So Ron McLean of Hockey Night in Canada once said that you're one of the only artists he never leaves home without on his iPod. Who's one of the artists that you never leave home without?
I have to say, I know it's tough because I'm biased, because he's like my brother. But Adam Baldwin, he's one of the most underrated, not only songwriters, but just wordsmiths around. I don't believe it's a dying breed. I just believe that they don't get the shot they once had. And Adam is I'm really proud of him these days. He's starting to get realized, and people are getting to know how much of a force he is in his songwriting prowess. So I gotta say Adam Baldwin.
Well, that might be a good segue into a song that you have called a Rock and Roll Band. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, totally. This is one of my favorite songs because I live in Toronto, and my band lives in Nova Scotia, and they're not just my band. They're like my brothers. We are incredibly, incredibly close, and we all know every single thing about each other. And when we play every night, if I'm having a hard time, the boys know it, and they play extra hard for me. Or if Leith's having a rough go or whatever, you know, we play for him, and he knows we're playing for him, and it's incredibly special. But this song, yeah, I wrote a verse about each guy in my band, because I was at a place where I missed them all so much that it kind of came to a head. So yeah, it's just called Rock and Roll Band.
Amplify your fuse on fire. Adam's guitar screams away. Down through some lost canyon, our voices dance and sway. He hunts his music by night, like an any good soldier does. He's the best goddamn singer that probably ever was. It's rock and roll band of mine. Rock and roll band of mine. Singing simple songs and having a time. This rock and roll band of mine. Well, Switchblade, he's the left-hand man. Come, watch his fingers dance and slide. He won't stop solo until he takes you to the other side.
He's from the rock and puts the roll back into your dance. Check out the Wicked Deadlies if you ever do get a chance. This rock and roll band of mine. Singing simple songs and having a time. There's a rock and roll band of mine. There's Sergio on the low end. Yeah, he's keeping this wild ship in line. We've been on the road since we were kids. Somehow we're still doing fine. Wisdom talking warrior. Yeah, let's have a good time. I can still hear us laughing by the time we stole the golf cart that one time. This rock and roll band of mine. Simple songs and having a time. This rock and roll band of mine. Dust up from far back behind. One engine turning in perfect time. Gets all lost into the song and stops us all on a dime. Music is his major with a PhD in rhythm. Lucky he'll sing you sail away just for you. This rock and roll band of mine. Ooh, this rock and roll band of mine. Playing simple songs and having a time. This rock and roll band of mine. Leave the weapon. Up to see Donnie to drink every last drop. This rock and roll band of mine. This rock and roll band of mine. Singing simple songs and having a time. This rock and roll band of mine. Rock and roll band of mine. This rock and roll band of mine. Our breed's that of a dying kind, but we'll still keep rolling on down the line. Keep rolling on down the line. Keep rolling on down the line. The line. Rock and roll band.
Okay, you're listening to 101.5 The Hawk FM. That was Matt Mays singing Rock and Roll Band. Matt, there's another song that I have of yours, a demo called Weapon. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, actually, before I talk about that song, I'd like the listeners to know that you have every demo that I think I've ever recorded because we're best friends. And I love that we're talking about them, you know, they're bringing some light to them. I think that's great, Mary. Anyways, this song, Weapon, a friend of mine was in a bit of a toxic relationship. It was an outtake. We recorded it to a demo for the Terminal Romance record. And I really liked the tune and I liked the groove and I really liked the riff, but it was kind of personal to the point where I didn't want it in my life. You know, I wrote it for a friend who was going through a bit of a toxic relationship. And it's a pretty heavy song. And it probably would have been cool on that record, but I didn't want it in my life, you know. It's just some songs are like that, you know. So, this is a song I love, but it was just a little too much at the time.
I ain't down with your weapon, she means nothing to me.
Let's listen to another song of yours called Feel Too Much.
Feel Too Much was pretty much the demo to a song that came out on Once Upon a Hell of a Time called Howl at the Night. And it's a totally different song. You might not even be able to draw comparisons, but I got to record in Elliot Smith's studio in Van Nuys in LA. The studio he built, and it's called New Monkey, and it's a great gang who I'm still in touch with, who run the place. Anyways, I went to do a record there, and I have a whole full record that I did there that just wasn't right. I couldn't get the lyrics right on it, and I'll probably release it. But anyways, Feel Too Much was, I think, one of the first things I did there. And yeah, Lowell Campbell again from Wintersleep played drums on this, and I just like the idea of feeling too much, because that's most of us sort of sensitive artists, kind of that's our lives, we're constantly feeling too much, and it's a song about, I guess, trying to own that a little bit, I suppose. But yeah, feel too much.
Speaking of artists, did you not go to school for art before you became a musician professionally?
I did. I went to NASCAD, the Nova Scotia College of Art and Design, but I only lasted a semester. I was in a band called the Guthries, and we had some tours that were coming up. And I just sort of felt like music was sort of, you know, calling me pretty hard. And I still paint as much as I can, and I love that side of my brain. I'm trying to spend pay more attention to it these days. But yeah, I kind of funneled it all into music at that point.
And so you've opened for such artists as, you know, the Black Crowes, Blue Rodeo, Gaslight Anthem. Can you talk about one of your favorite moments opening for people that you admired, and how that felt?
I got to say, hands down, when Levon Helm was still alive, he used to do something called the Midnight Ramble. Through a mutual friend of ours, Abe Bradshaw, and Jimmy Vivino from the Max Weinberg Seven, and now Jimmy Vivino is a legend in his own right, but he knew about us in New York when we were down there, and he led the band, he led Levon's band, and organized the Midnight Ramble, and he really liked us, and he invited us to open for Levon Helm at his own studio in Woodstock. And it was, I don't know, it seems like a dream to me now, because it was, he was one of my, if not my biggest hero before that. We got to drive up to Woodstock, and we set up, and we had the El Torpedo had a side band called Sundown, and that was our acoustic band. So we kind of did an acoustic sort of show. But before we went on, Levon came and met us, and he was super, super sweet and nice. And then he went on after us. And for the encore, he was yelling at me. I was behind his drum set, and he was sidewashed. He was yelling at me to take Jimmy's guitar from him. And I walked on stage, and Jimmy Vivino handed me his guitar, and we went into this blues number. And then I've never seen anybody love playing music so much in my life. Like I couldn't believe that I was actually jamming with Levon Helm.
Yeah.
But he was so special that he made it all about me, and he was pointing at me with his drumstick, and he screamed at me, you know, his big toothy smile and in his groove. He was hitting the hi-hat, the ride cymbal like he does, and he was pointing at me to take a solo. And so I took a solo, and he was screaming at me the whole solo, just in excitement and with a huge smile on his face. And the band was cooking, and I was just doing rootney, rootney, rootney. I was so scared. I just did my rootney, rootney. So that's all I could think to do at the time. I remember consciously taking a photo in my mind of it all. This was before iPhones, pretty much. But every time I close my eyes, I can remember it all perfectly. And then after the fact, when everybody left, he invited us back to his kitchen, and me and the band and him, that was it. And I remember there was a box of Crispix on the table. And he rolled about 10 joints and told us just road stories and asked us about us. And him and I were shoulder to shoulder, and told us all these amazing things I'll never forget about being a musician. And it was nuts. And we got in our van and we drove back to New York City. And woke up the next morning like, did that really happen? You know. So hands down, that was my Jimmy said that he would always ask how we were doing after that. You know, years after, he's like, "How are Maddie and the boys doing up there?" You know. Yeah, it's nuts. You know.
It's a pretty special place that he has there. I've been there like a couple times, and when I saw him play there, it was like the Ulster County Gospel Choir opened, and then they came on stage and sang "The Wait" with him for the encore.
Oh man, that would have been amazing.
It was pretty magic.
So crazy.
And the legacy of that place keeps going. You know, it's like we have potlucks before the shows, and it's a very kind of like respectful, communal, beautiful homage to him, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody there was so sweet and so accepting of us, and they were so, I don't know. It was just, I was like, how did we get here? You know, it's just, if we get Levon Helm's approval, you know, ever since that, I know it may seem, maybe, I don't know. I don't really worry about any kind of bad reviews or if somebody says they don't like my music. If Levon Helm invites you to his house and jams with you, to me, it sort of really helped me, I think, sort of open up to be more creative, you know, and be like, why am I worrying about everybody? You know, I'm so lucky to have Levon in my corner.
Well, let's listen to a song of yours called "Wild Little Lonesome Dream." This is Matt Mays on 101.5 The Hawk FM. Here we go.
Your summer's gone. You're flicking a lighter to a dark day song. And the spiders are getting big in the blade grass, flicker and freeze. Far out in this wild little lonesome dream. Ooh. It's about what you become and not what you was. I still get nervous when I feel your buzz. In my back left pocket of my new this wild little lonesome dream. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The best beautiful snowflake falls. Rattles the pictures on the wall. Wild little lonesome dream. Ooh.
So that was Matt Mays. You're listening to 101.5 FM The Hawk. We are listening to a special hour of demos that I have compiled over the years of friendship. So the next song up is Drive Wheel. So Matt, would you like to talk about that a little?
Yeah, sure. This one is like, I don't know, it always seems to... I feel like the songs that are worth keeping always kind of like keep themselves around. But I moved into, within about 2 weeks, I got a call saying from my friend Abe in New York, my friend in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, this is like 2006, I think, was looking for a tenant to have this whole place, ground floor place. And I wasn't planning on moving to New York City, but I had no real reason not to. So I moved down there, and I moved in. Before I knew it, I was living in Brooklyn. I had an apartment to myself, and it was very, I don't know, Mike's who owned the place. I was talking to him today, actually. He's like one of my heroes. He's an amazing songwriter. And
Yeah,
Mike Ferriero. Yeah. So Mike's place, you know, Mike, Mary, you gave him those awesome shades. Yeah, he's awesome. Anyways, so the first day there, recorded some train sounds, and then I put them on a loop. And then a lot of the songs that I write that I really like the most don't feel like I wrote them. They came so quick. But Drive Wheel, I remember writing these lyrics like straight through, like I didn't stop. I didn't go back once. And it's never happened. And I really hope it will again, but I don't know if it will. But you can tell the lyrics are just coming like straight out. And I love this song because it's like, it's just super point blank, you know? And yeah.
Say you should stay in one place, let the grass grow under your feet. Enraged and worsens, it gives you a second chance in a one channel world that's slowly taking you down to a place where we all can be free. Be your it's on a train in the perfect size. Meet me in the station with a world in your hand. Show me around, introduce me to Spain. I will marry in true love to a girl who is from Mars. I will walk
clouds are completely etched as the stars. The New York City skyline scares the shit out of me when I see it, my scars start to hurt. Lower deck, upper west side, cocaine, LA borderline. Somebody hang up these clothes. This gust of wind takes me to believe that someone is there, someone who is wise, someone ready to talk me into the next 5 years with a stern sense of rhythm and 10 speeds of hard diamond gears and drive wheels that pound so hard they wake up the dead. On this train that takes me across the Great Plains. On this train that takes me across the Great Plains.
How important do you feel that it is to have a creative space to create in? Like, do you feel that music can be made anywhere, or do you think it's important to have a room and a focus where you can create?
Mary, I don't know. I always wonder about that. Like, I feel like sometimes if it's the right song that comes down the pipe, you can be in a completely white room sitting in a chair staring at nothing, and your whole imagination makes the story and makes the color or the whatever. Other times, I remember when I was like a younger songwriter, I would like check into a hotel. I'd be like, I'm in a hotel and they have like the fancy napkins and the pen. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to write the best song ever, you know, but then it would just be, it wouldn't happen. And I wouldn't understand why. And then I would like be at like a Super 8 and like write the best song ever on the shitter, you know. It comes at you at weird different times, and to me, I don't have like a studio. I just work in a bunch of different ones, and to me that seems to work, and sometimes it doesn't, and mostly the song decides. That's just how I am. I have a lot of friends who are songwriters that are machines that work in a room, and to me, I need change constantly, and I believe in the non hippiest way possible, energy and karma and vibe. And you and I have proved to each other, being such good friends, where I'll see something or say something and you'll text me back a minute later the same thing. It's insane. And I believe that's what songwriting is like. It's like it picks you, and not the other way around.
Stop. side with me. Sunday comes and all the papers say, Mother Teresa's joined the mob and happy with her full-time job.
Thank you. Hamilton's Alternative, 101.5, The Hawk FM.